Our budget meeting to order.
Mr. L.A., nothing, kind of ain't no forum meeting. Mr. Bronson, you have the floor. Rebecca's recorder's on.
All right, well, Mayor and Dale and Jenny, I've got in front of you a balanced budget. So a lot of work goes into that, especially with the department heads and staff. So I appreciate all the work that they put into it, especially Kylie and Rebecca. Pull a line share, help them pull it all together. The first page you have in your book is a summary of everything. It's a big sheet of paper. So if anything else, you can always refer back to here for what are the bottom line numbers. The next thing, and I'm going to walk you through what you have in your book real quick. The next thing you have in there is a copy of the this PowerPoint presentation that takes you through to the first colored sheet. The next set of, or next pages that you have in there after that is the line item detail. And this is asking you and everybody else, go through it, scrutinize it, come back, ask whatever questions you have to ask of me and the department heads. Sometimes there are things that I don't know as well as they do, and that's everything. The next tab that you have is a couple of things called financial internal control policy, utility policies, and then we also have a organizational chart at the end. We also have another document that we'll get out to you. It deals with all the financial policies that we have at the city together. You've passed some things piecemeal here, there, and over time. So what we've done is we've started with this, and you've got a pretty good effort that we've put in place to put all that into one document so that you can see it, so the customers can see it, so we all know what the rules are. So with that, Ms. Knight, how you doing? I have a gift for you to come and display a project. This is a copy of what they have.
Oh, great, thank you.
So if you're good with what you have there, we'll start cranking through the PowerPoint. So you are on step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, somehow I left the 2021 dates in there. I'm sorry. I updated every slide for this one because we're on the same day as we were last year. But you've come through 4 budget workshops to get here. This is not last year's numbers. These are this year's numbers. What you'll see that you have this year that's different than what you've had in the years past, we're including the capital project fund from the state ARP money that we got. And within that capital project fund are the ARP funds as well as the C funds that we get. That capital project fund as well as the county ARP is intended to transcend year to year. So you're going to see some things that are listed as budget, like in the capital project fund. Hall Street is listed in there. But if we get that completed and start having draw schedules before you pass that budget, that number will come down. It's meant to be a rolling type of a fund, if you will, not like the general fund and utility fund and those others. What you'll also see at the bottom, I separated out the state and local accommodations tax. The intent of that tax is just slightly different than the hospitality tax. I thought it best to keep that one separate, really for state audit purposes when we send our audit in each year. So you're going to see those things look different. Those two capital project funds, meaning the county ARP and the capital project fund, are different than anything you've seen on here before. So just to recount a few of the things that we had, I'll go to the part that's on the right, just the challenges that we have putting this budget together. The threat lawsuit from Seneca about the OJRSA. Right now, the biggest impact to us on that is the legal fees. the 2021 DHEC consent order on sewer, along with the rising cost. So just that alone is quite a few things to deal with on sewer. The next is a loss of participation credits from the MPA, and we're going to drill down into how much that's that means to us. Health insurance increases. The staffing cost increases to be able to keep competitive wages. And then all the things that you know about as terms with, or that deals with inflation and supply chain delays and things of that nature. Of the things we haven't taken a lot of advantage of here in Westminster in the past are other funding sources that we can bring in, particularly for capital projects, not really so much for operating, but state funds, RIA funds, which we have a grant pending right now, state revolving loan funds, USDA or RD funding, which we have a grant pending right now for that, and a variety of other federal agencies and state agencies that will have funding that we will be able to apply for. So I updated this chart from the last time you saw it. Unfortunately, the inflation rate, when we looked at this in March, you had January and February numbers, and now that we have March numbers, inflation continues to go up. More so, I believe the Bureau of Labor Statistics cites more so than any time since the 80s. So that's just something that we have to deal with. And that headline there came right off of the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, which is the federal gold standard for how to measure these things. So summary, real quick, what do you have in that book? It's a balanced budget, and it moves close to what we call the cost-to-serve model. So we're trying to bring in all the different functions we have and getting sewer to pay for sewer, getting garbage to pay for garbage, getting rec closer to paying for rec, so that you aren't using general tax dollars to pay for garbage and you aren't using utility transfer to pay for things in the general fund that the general fund ought to be able to support. What's also in there, millage, no increase, recreation fees, no increase, water rate, no increase, a 5% electric rate increase, 5% sewer rate increase, and a 5% garbage collection fee increase, and then tap fee increases for water and sewer, and that's actually listed on a different slide. On the personnel side, no new positions, a 5% cost of living adjustment, 18.1% health insurance increase, and that's from January to June of next year. We've been notified by the state to anticipate that. It's up to the state legislature whether or not that actually gets passed. So if it doesn't, that's great, because you're going to see here in just a minute.
We do have it budgeted, though.
It's fully budgeted. It's fully funded, I should say.
How much of that's going to be left of the employees, and how much will the city have to absorb?
So this increase is the employer side increase.
Okay.
The employees are going to see a $30 copay in our deductible. They're going to see a $30 deductible increase beginning January 1st.
And what dates did you say that was?
That begins January 1st. So what you're looking at here will be from January to June. Wanted to remind you, since I'm asking you to consider some rate increases in this budget, when have you last modified these rates? And here are the dates, and I tried to footnote, or I did footnote the ones that I'm aware of and the reasons why we included the last three, I'll say.
When was the last time PMPA had an increase, do you remember? Or did you know?
The numbers that I have only go back to 2018 or 2019 that I have further in this slide.
Rebecca, do you remember?
I can find that out. Do you want me to find that for you?
I'd like to know. It's not that important, but I'd just like to know when the last one was, because I know we got one coming.
Sticking with the challenges, the health insurance increase, which we get through the Public Employer Benefit Association. I think I got that right. I did. PIBA, the price tag for that for 6 months is just a little under $173,000. Cost for 5% COLA for all city employees is right around $95,500. We don't anticipate any workers' comp increases, and there are no new positions in this budget. So as it comes to personnel, and this is across all funds, didn't separate them out.
Is there anything in the general fund you had to cut back due to the health insurance and the city employees? Or do you just have to work it out? There wasn't nothing specific you had to cut to make the difference up?
No, I mean, you're going to see that there are a number of capital projects that we have in here. There's no money in here to figure out what to do with the old magistrate court. Mm-hmm. There's no money in here for Retreat Street Park. There's a number of things that aren't in this budget that would be what I would call a capital project type thing that I probably would have put in here if we'd had more money. When we get down to the hospitality and the capital projects fund, you'll see what those projects are that we did include. We wanted to make sure that they matched those funding sources. Some of these other things just didn't do that. Is this Caleb just come in to see us?
Hey, yes.
Welcome, Caleb. You know, we hope you last more than just a quarter. We were just making fun with Andrea that it seems like the photographers don't last at the newspaper, and we couldn't figure out why. She claims it has nothing to do with her, but, you know.
I don't know about all that.
You can tell us later. If there's anything you need, you just let us know.
Okay.
We're informal here today.
All right.
Other than the lights coming on.
Other than the lights, yeah. I like it dark, so you're staying with me here. Debt service, this is the same schedule you've seen before. The reason I put this up, you've got to meet your debt obligations first. So keeping this in mind, we don't have a lot. If you'll look on there, the revenue bond for water, which is the first one listed under utility obligations, that one rolls off this year. So that saved us around $300,000 that we've absorbed into that budget. But you'll see that gave us a little bit of breathing room in water, possibly why there's not a rate increase there, but we did still move some of the capital needs into that capital projects fund. So we'll roll down, and I'm going to go in order of the funds as they're listed on your front cover sheet. The general fund, around $2.1 million. Revenues are pretty similar to 2022. We did still have an H-tax transfer that increased, and the reason it increased was for the Appalachian Region Commission Downtown Master Plan grant of $68,000, of which we have to match $34,000. So there's a transfer coming from hospitality into the general fund to do that master plan, should we get the grant. Still have a bit of work. The transfer from the utility fund is at 5%, so you'll see that it's down significantly from what it's been the last 3 years. The last 2 years.
Where's that one detailed? Okay, 377?
377 is a 5% utility transfer. And we'll get into some more of the details. But that affects the revenue stream coming into the general fund because it's less than it has been. I'll highlight the two big departments in general fund. First is police. We have two police cruisers in there. I think during one of our budget workshops, we talked about two vehicles not working. I think we're up to three vehicles not working very well. So we need to replace some vehicles very badly. So there are two in here. and we would propose to do that through that capital lease purchase program where we buy this as well as a fire marshal vehicle, a total of $145,000. And it actually is paid, I think, over the period of 5 years, the payback schedule. I'd like for us to start replacing a number of those vehicles every year so that we don't get pumped. So don't we don't have three sitting where we can't even drive.
Okay. What are police jetpacks?
Police jetpacks. I'm going to let
Chief. That's new technology. I can't
tell you. No, if I see one of y'all flying over City Hall right here.
But that's what. No, it's wireless internet cards for the in-car computers.
Wireless internet cards. Why do they call them jetpacks?
That's Verizon question. Verizon calls them a jetpack, but it sounds cool.
It does. And what's the flock cameras?
The flock camera system is, when you boil it down, it's a license plate reader. But it's a whole system that's nationwide. The sheriff's office is getting some. Seneca already has some. West Union has them. I think Wahala is looking at getting them. But the way it will help us is, just the other day we had a truck stolen from the Dollar Tree parking lot. One of the truck drivers leaves his truck sitting there. It's an old 85 Chevrolet. They just hot-wired it and stole it. The flock cameras, what they do is you put them, and it'll be strategically placed. We don't know where yet. But you can go into the system and say, I'm looking for a 1985 Chevrolet pickup truck, red color. Click submit, and it's going to pull you everything that passed through that matches that description. If you've got a tag number, you can then go locally, statewide, counties, get access to sleds, and run that tag, and it'll tell you where that vehicle's been. So it's a huge asset to us to be able to, one, track down crime that may happen. We know we've had two vehicles that I just recall right now, broad daylight, stolen from Napa and now Dollar Tree. It'll cut down on all that. It'll still give us a time frame, narrow down, and take pictures of it too. But being able to network with other departments, I'm already networking with Seneca, working on this truck stolen from Dollar Tree, they're looking for it now. It'll just be a huge asset to us.
Is there like a yearly service plan or license?
It's $2,500 a year. I think it's $1,500 to install and then it's $2,500 per camera per year.
So the $5,800 covers the initial fee?
The initial fee and 1 year service.
Initial fee and 1 year. How many officers do we have right now?
Slotted for 9. Fixing to have 8.
And you'll see we retired our canine, I forget her name.
Lena.
Last year this year, we retired her and hadn't quite yet decided if to replace canine. So the annual expenses for her was $1,500, so you see that's no longer. And the footnote down there explains, and even though I wrote 3 years, I believe I financed that over 5. And that footnote at the bottom. And Mayor, you'll notice that police shield was on the police slide.
Yes.
Fire shield was on the fire slide.
There you go. What we had to have.
We support all our public safety officials equally and from the heart. For fire, the chief's over there thinking it's not real. We need to invest in the fire department this year. We hadn't done it in a while. That fire marshal vehicle should have already been replaced. We have that in there, and if you approve this budget, we'll package it up with the two police cars. We increased the overtime by $3,400 and increased part-time line item by $5,000. If we're fully staffed, we need less of the part-timers. Am I getting that right?
Yes, sir.
Chief's got a formula for how he does that. my opinion, it's time to put more resources in those line items if we're not going to add more firefighters. And I hate to say that I trimmed those down a little bit, but I had to balance the budget. I'd like to put more in there. What the chief requested, ended up actually recommending to you that he gets a little less than what he requested, not by law. And then the SCBAs, Oconee County is replacing all of theirs. We have a chance to get, make sure that our firefighters are using those same SBAs. We can use the same financing plan that they have where they're financed over 7 years. Again, it's another capital lease program. Financed for 7 years, Chief tells me the life expectancy of these things is about 15. So I feel comfortable recommending that you finance those over 7 since it's less than half of its useful life.
Michael, how many full-timers do you have now?
We're slotted for 5 and we have 4 currently.
Is that due to the pay? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Is that due to the pay?
That's one of the last 2 left.
Is that what happened to a police officer today?
Both of them.
Those, y'all got Scott Airfax now, right?
We currently have Scott. We have 14 that are going out of date in mid-2023.
Okay.
So while we can jump on and get all 20 of them, it'll end up saving us. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's about 75,000, 85,000 total if we switch now versus wait.
What do you do with those when you're done with them? Do you just turn them in? Do we get any kind of...
No, we can actually put them on gov deals. We can sell them to places overseas that are not NFPA states, because NFPA is what regulates the life expectancy of our gear, the airbags, whole nine yards.
So that helps recoup some money?
It will recoup some funds, but it's not going to be like you're getting half of what they're worth.
Sure.
Michael, how much pay increase would it take to keep the guys from quitting? What are we compared with the other areas?
We are close as far as pay on our side. The difference is what we pay versus what everybody else pays if they're working alone. So they can leave here working by themselves, having to be responsible for everything, the shift, running a call, having to come back in on callback on days off, and they can go somewhere else and work with a crew of 9 to 12 for more money and less responsibility. So that's the reason we lost the last 2.
Matt, where are we at on pay with our police officers?
As it sits right now, we're probably $2 to $3 below the hour where other places are. The one that's leaving, he's going to be at about $18 an hour, and then in 6 months he's supposed to be at $21 an hour somewhere after the raise is coming. But right now we're $2 to $3, and we're probably going to fall even farther behind.
Then Seneca and Wahala in the counties?
Seneca, I don't know what Wahala's is going to look like yet, but Seneca County. The Wahala's getting a raise also, but we're going to be bottom of the line.
Since we use transfers to fund, I would say one of the great things that we have here is diverse revenue streams. Because we do, we transfer funds from one place to the other when it's appropriate to the source, when the use of the money matches the source of the money. And since we do quite a bit of that, I think it's good for you to be able to see on one slide where all that money's coming and going. Just 2 things I'll point out on this slide is, 1, the utility transfers at 5%. And then 2, when you look down and see the general fund transfer to solid waste, we dropped $65,000 from this current year down to 11 through two things. One is the 5% increase that's proposed in this budget, and the other is around a 10% revenue growth that we've seen. Now, that's going to stop at some point, but as we keep looking, as I think that this neighborhood that's going up out on Mountain Road gets closer and closer, we believe that there'll be some growth, and we'll maintain some of that growth going out there. So. The rest of the transfers that you see here are more or less what they were in this current fiscal year. Utility fund, a lot to look at there. I want to go to the next slide and just do some highlights. Please keep in mind these are just highlights. This isn't everything. So if you see something, and you've got the line item detail, so if you see something in the line item detail you have questions on, we'll be happy to answer it. I just pulled out the things that I wanted to highlight to you. One, legal services, we added another $8,000, which I hope is enough. And again, this goes back to the potential litigation with Seneca over OJRSA. I'd like to have been able to pull that legal number down, but instead we had to take it up. The second is in the electric fund. You'll see the plus $316,000. That's because we are not anticipating any participation credits going forward from PNPA on our electric bill. And I have a slide that's going to explain participation credits a little bit more here shortly. The next thing is a little over $48,000 in the water fund to replace some more of the water meters so that we get the AMI system optimized. Lee and his staff have been working a little overtime to try and figure out how our AMI system should work as opposed to how it's been working. There's a lot of efficacy to be gained that we've just not realized because we haven't quite figured out all the comings and goings with the system. I think Lee and his group are getting there. Part of that is we've got to have meters that are relaying the data so that we can receive it, and there's an expense with that. What will be new to the upcoming budget is the concert fund loan. Again, that was a grant we got through the SC Energy office to fund replacement of some, or to fund the installation of variable frequency drives. This has been going on for a number of years. We don't have to pay any of the money back until we close the loan. We expect we'll close the loan at the end of this fiscal year. Water plant increases. Chemical costs are up about $30,000. Sewer fund. To cover the increase from OJRSA, we need about another $25,000. And in the non-departmental, there is a contingency line in there. You may recall we talked about having a contingency for things that come up that we aren't currently aware of, or being able to put that to fund balance at the end of the year. When we calculated this current year, a day's worth of cash was equal to $30,000. So you've got about 4 days worth of cash there that should all this hold up. That amount stays. The revenues appear and the expenditures don't go what we anticipate them to, that we'd be able to put 4 days worth of cash for utilities in the bank at the end of that fiscal year. In this current fiscal year, we have $132,000 in there. And right now, I can tell you, I think we're on target to be able to put that into fund balance so that we can increase days cash on hand. Small incremental steps will get us there. The last thing in here is the electric line truck. If y'all haven't met Lee Baker and don't know how much he loves a utility pole, he can't put a utility pole up if he doesn't have a line truck. So
I bet he could. Well, I've seen him work.
He's slow process.
He put more in if he's got a truck. You're right. He needs a new line truck. The one we got is old, and it's got hydraulic issues that we're soon just putting good money after after a bad truck.
Are we still putting a lot of maintenance money into that truck?
Yeah, I got a rental line truck for a couple weeks. I'm trying to work out a deal with somebody local here to get a truck because our boom's leaking. Mm-hmm. We fixed all the other leaks, you know, 1,000 here, 500 there, but I got to get that boom fixed. So.
Well, a few years ago, it was actually costing more than a payment would be, and maintenance and upkeep on this truck.
Well, for both, for the trucks I have a $20,000 budget. I've already run over that. Mm-hmm. That's just for my, but some of that's oil changes, but a lot of it is the bucket truck of the day had a handle break. It's old. That was $3,600 to replace that one handle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's expensive to work on those trucks.
Right. Kevin, on the water.
Yes.
We got a $29,000 increase in chemical costs. So you're saying without a rate increase on water, we're just absorbing that? We're able to do that now?
We're able to do that for two reasons. We're absorbing the rate increase, and I've moved some of their other capital needs into your capital projects fund.
Okay.
So it's two steps here. Ideally, your rates are covering the capital needs that you have. Recognizing it's a hard year for everybody, wanting to keep the rate increases as low as possible, if there was something that qualified, meaning it was a large capital item, I moved it into that capital projects fund. This is a recurring expense, so moving a recurring expense into one-time money doesn't make much sense. So I left it in this budget because you're going to have to fund this again next year because I doubt those costs are going to go down. The capital cost, you know, once you fund them, you choose what you do the next year. So by moving capital out of those budgets, really these budgets that you see right here, and into that capital projects fund, you took pressure off of the utility fund overall. And you'll be able to see the magnitude of that when we get a little bit further in.
Well, don't be bashful about doing that. I know you're thinking in technical terms, but we need to let the public know we are absorbing a lot of cost instead of passing raises, rate increases on. I want people to understand you're doing that because you're not patting yourself on the back any, I know, but let them know just so they understand what you're doing.
Well, you know, I appreciate you saying that to me, but also every one of our department heads, Lee, Matt, Michael, Herb, Rebecca, everybody does a really good job of containing cost here. And they
agree.
Do an exceptional job of staying within our means. So a lot of credit goes to them that I could actually present this budget to you and expect it to be something we could execute. And if we didn't have this group of folks, I wouldn't be proposing that.
And I appreciate that. We do.
So just to give you a summary over your utility franchise fee transfer, you know, most best practices are going to say somewhere between 5 and 8%. Usually you don't want to charge yourself too much less or too much more than you would charge anybody else. A good example is Blue Ridge and one of the cable companies, is either Vi or AT&T. We charge a 5% fee to them. So charging ourselves a 5% fee for the use of the public right-of-way is an appropriate thing to do. Going as high as 8, like I said, you aren't going to find anywhere where it says hard and fast to use one number or another. But as long as you're within that 5 to 8% range, you're okay. So that we could take some of the pressure off of the utility fund, we started with this as our number this year. That we were going to hold the line on a 5% increase so that we kept more of those funds over on the utility side. Because Lee and his crews right now are really making a lot of gains. You give them a nickel and I think they're getting probably about a quarter's worth of effective production on the other side. So in light of that, trying to keep as much money on the utility side as possible. And we've talked about this quite a bit, that we want that transfer to be it's close to 5, and it's 5 on the money. So forgive me for this being a very unsexy slide, but it conveys a ton of information as far as I'm concerned. Electric, I've proposed to you that you should have a 5% electric rate increase. And if you do, that'll net around $125,000 extra revenue, additional revenue. However, what you actually need is nearly a 15% increase. If you go down and you look at the number in red, if you just kind of go from the number where I say needed down to red, and you see that number in red is $382,000 and change, that's the number that we're trying to replace. So since 2018, we've been receiving what PMPA calls participation credits, which is just a phrase they give us when they collect more revenue than they need to operate and they close the fiscal year out. The following year, they give credits back to all the 10 participants that's in excess of what they collected and from what they needed the previous year. The board has to vote on that. So since 2018, you can see we've received almost $2 million back in participation credits. That has kept us from having to raise our electric rates because as we've grown, as our budgets have grown, as we have currently we're absorbing a lot of the cost of inflation. Because we were receiving those participation credits, we were able to defer a lot of rate increases. I think the day has come and gone on participation credits. Mayor, you're in those meetings with me. The PMPA board meeting that we had last Thursday, the PMPA staff are prepping the board for very likely a rate increase come January 1st. So it's not only do these participation credits go away, but we may actually see an increase from PMPA. The reason being that we get 90% of our electricity, well, that's not right. We get 10% of our electricity from Santee Cooper, which is natural gas turbine. And natural gas prices have gone from around the $2 mark up to the $7 mark and are headed toward 12. So that kind of increase on 10% of our cost is what drives that, as well as the reduction or the loss of the participation credits.
And the lithium, was it lithium they said we have to run uranium?
Yeah, the uranium that you actually need to run a nuclear power plant has been largely coming from Russia. Well, there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, and people don't want to buy things from Russia. And they wouldn't tell us where, and I don't think that we necessarily need to know, but we do have an alternate source of uranium from some other country in the world that is a short-term fix. So if things don't resolve themselves with Russia, there can be even more increased cost there. It gets to be very geopolitical in that room very quick, and I'm much better being in Westminster than in that room sometimes.
Well, do you heard the same conversation out there? Do you think we will get the 147,000 total in credits, or do you think they'll end up stopping that before the year's out?
I think we'll get it because you got to have enough votes. And I don't see Rockhill and Greer coming off their vote. And as long as they hold true, you know we will.
Okay.
Our vote is worth 1.83% in the table. You add them together, you got 45%. We only need one other participant to chip in, and I think either Clinton or Union is going to. So I think the staff could push for it, but I think it's just going to come down to that hardcore majority of the board that's going to stick it out.
So if we need 356 and the increase is only going to get us 125, where is the other 200?
We've absorbed it.
You've absorbed it.
And I've moved projects that Lee needs to keep all the momentum we have in our electric system. I've moved them out of this fund into that capital project fund, about $250,000.
So we're really absorbing almost 10% of what we need.
Yes. Yes, you're probably absorbing more than that.
Okay.
The harsh reality is we may be back here at the end of this calendar year as PMPA develops this budget. We'll know in December if we need to come back in January and have another rate increase. Because if PMPA has a rate increase, we'll have to pass out long. We won't be able to absorb that. Well, we won't be able to absorb it and pay all our other bills. So this is just a sample or some examples of what the 5% rate increase would be. When you get to your June meeting, we'll have the full schedule laid out on what it would mean for all rate classes and rate codes. I just wanted to give you an idea here. Sewer, proposing a 5% increase. You can't afford what you need there. The budget's around 700, or this is going to generate you around $700,000 in income, and the budget's $1 million. So if you raised your rate to cover your full expense there, it would be very, very expensive for sewer. So right now, sewer gets augmented out of the water and electric utilities. So what you see here, a 5% generate around $25,000. That helps us settle that last 20% increase, where the revenue that we bring in at a minimum pays our bill to OJRSA. It doesn't cover the operating costs, but it does at least, we're able to cover that bill when it comes in. I give our new supervisor, Terry Reed, and Lee Baker credit for doing the research on this, on our water and sewer tap fees. We talked about this at the last budget workshop. I think this is going to generate some additional, it's nothing we balance the budget with, but it generates a good bit more revenue than what we've seen from these particular tap fees in the past. And again, this is where the new folks on the system are paying for adding them onto the system rather than having the existing customers pay for those part of that addition. Solid waste, kind of breaking the numbers down a little bit under the highlights there. Jimmy Powell, I tell everybody I give you the credit for this one, because it was your observation that there are more people using our garbage cans than have in quite a while. And so Kylie and I spent a number of hours going back in and pulling the number, all our revenues and the numbers of cans and all that type of stuff. And you can see a trend since January 2021. Our counts of cans have been going up and up, so our revenue's been going up and up. It equates to just a little less than a 10% growth over the last year. If you take that growth and you add 5% in there, and I gave you what those rates would look like, we're able to reduce the transfer in from the general fund. We're reducing it by $65,000, which means that amount of money is left in the general fund to cover public safety and general administration that wouldn't otherwise be there. This gets us really close to the cost of service model. And I didn't run this out to any great lengths, but I think if we keep at least a 6-7% rate increase over the next year you may not need a general fund transfer or rate increase. I'm not going to promise that, because I don't want to promise that far out, but just looking at the trends, I think that could be supported by the trend data. Showing you some more information on the cost to serve model, where you're able to look at last year, this current year, and the proposal that you have. And the key in there is the transfer from the general fund, where you see that number going down on purpose. And you can see that for the most part, we're holding the line pretty strong on expenses. Again, I give Lee and the supervisors a solid waste of credit for that. 5%, 1% money, or fire, 1% money. 20% in there. The amount of money you see here, we don't generate that much in 1 year. That is around $14,000, give or take, that we expect in new money, and the balance that's in the checking account. So I put all of it in there. This is not anything that the council decides on. This is for the fire men and women to decide what to do, and that's governed by state law. But it's a part of your budget, so you're looking at it. The next, youth recreation. What's interesting to me about youth recreation is I spent a lot of time trying to make sure the numbers worked and we had everything we needed for youth rec here. And then I go to do the highlights, and I really didn't have that many highlights. We worked real hard so that we could keep the same level of service. And that's one of my points. we just have the same level of service going into next year. Herb asked for some additional funds so that he could cover football. You know, we had, I think he had to actually cancel some football teams because we couldn't get quite enough folks to participate. He's got a plan to get back over that hump. But with that comes some increase in revenue and expenses. So while you don't see it in the highlight section here, there was as much work went into Youth Rec to make sure this balanced out as any other department. But it really was just to maintain the level of service.
The under revenues, the 30,000, where is that?
The intergovernmental revenue?
Mm-hmm.
That's money we get from the county.
So they are giving 30 this year?
That's how much we've been getting the last 2 years.
Yeah, but they hadn't told you that we're going to get an increase.
They
talked about an increase in their budget. You hadn't heard anything about that yet?
I have not.
Okay.
This is just what we've received in the past. It'd be nice if they gave us a lot more. We serve more county residents than we do city residents in our rec program. Local Development Corporation. Again, I think this is a real shining star for us here in town. We're able to take and give grants in the amount of $5,000, matching grants to property owners to increase the value of their commercial property that's taxable. Again, this is one of those that's a little bit on a rolling scale, so when you see that MASC grant and the revenues, that $16,250 may be less by the time you actually adopt the budget. We've got one grant that's come in, or grant request that's come in, so I could see that amount going down. And we need to spend that Municipal Association grant money by the end of this calendar year. But in that is the balance that we had in the bank and the new money we would see come from PMPA this year. So here's a fun slide, if I may call a slide fun. I was looking to the peanut gallery to give me some kind of affirmation on if I can call a slide fun. Two thumbs up, I'll take that. So we talked about moving a lot of expenses from the utility fund here so that we could balance over there. And if you look at everything that is in orange or yellow or whatever color I chose there, sorry, I can't tell. All of those things originated in the utility fund, either in electric or water. And I moved them here so that we could save the money, absorb some of those cost increases, particularly on electric, and not need as high of an increase. You've got the money here. Oh, and I see I actually transposed some of my coloring. I apologize. It should be $100,000 for the transformer installation, $150,000 for substation. That's electric. And then when you get down, the last one, the water service line truck, which I'm proposing that you buy outright from the ARP money. And then the rock hammer and trailer for the Mini-X, as well as the upgrades at the water plant, those all originated in your utility department fund. You can see in here, we have money for C funds for sidewalk rehabilitation. I would like to point out that you all passed, we have received $200,000, give or take, from the C funds to do some sidewalk and some roadway improvements. The bids came in and that wouldn't cover it. We had about a $700,000 shortfall. We went back to the C fund committee last week, Kylie did, and thanks to Sammy Dixon, who got us enough money to cover all the sidewalk replacements. So we're not gonna do any roadway improvements right now. We're gonna do all the sidewalks, which are around $379,000 of improvements. We'll go ahead and let that contract with the contractor. Once that's done, we'll go back to C funds and ask for the money to do the roadway improvements. So that number that you see here could change by the time we get to June. So
you got the grants broken down somewhere?
I don't have a slide with all the grants in, but Dr. John's Road is a grant that we've applied for through RIA. I believe the grant from them is $160,000, and then we have to add $306,000. Mayor, again, this is another one of those things where some of their antiquated, what I would say is their antiquated formulas for giving the grants, once served, no longer serve. What kept us from doing a bigger segment of Dr. John's Road is the $10,000 per tap maximum. So when we get a grant, they're only going to fund, give us enough money up to $10,000 per service tap. Well, that $10,000 has been around for more than a decade. A service tap using these grant funds could easily be $50,000. That would let us get much more of Dr. John's Road. We had originally planned for 12,000 linear feet, and I think we're down to less than 3,000. So we're about a quarter of what we would have applied for otherwise. Again, this is me whining to you because you're sympathetic toward me whining, but it is something that we've begun addressing with the members of our delegation, Representative Whitmire and Thomas Alexander. A couple of things that we've begun asking them for is to increase the cap of these grants from $500,000 to $1 million, because the $500,000 has been in place 12 or 15 years. And then to increase that cap per connection from 10,000 up to 50. If they did both of those things, then we could apply for these grants the way you could have about a decade ago. You get the same amount of value. So that's the RIA grant that you see in there, Mayor. The other is a possible grant match for Upcountry Fiber. I think most of you are aware that I've spent some time talking with Blue Ridge Electric. They are the ones putting in what they call the dark fiber for Upcountry Fiber, and then it's handed over to Western Carolina to actually light it up and run it. They've got an area that they're installing in Westminster right now, kind of south of Yusuf's, to the east of the fire station. In speaking with them, we may have the ability to go after a state grant to install more fiber within the city limits of Westminster. Blue Ridge is willing to do it, but they would look to us to help make the match. So I put $53,000 in there. There's nothing magical about that number. We would have to see all the places that this the fiber money is going to end up in this upcoming year's state budget, and then we can make application.
So it shouldn't cost the city anything? We should be able to do it all with grants, or is it going to?
Well, we may have to provide a match like this. Could be that a $53,000 match gets us $500,000 in actual fiber installed in town. A lot of that will come down to some of the neighborhoods. The more participants we can get in the neighborhoods, the more likely, the more participants we can get in a neighborhood, the more willing Blue Ridge is to go into that neighborhood, because they have the chance to have more customers. So to the extent that we can help go out and do the canvassing to get more people to sign up, we may actually have to pay less. But it takes some work on our part. If we can do it by walking and getting people to support it, we pay less. If not, then we can pay more and we work less. It's kind of six of one, half a dozen. And again, please note, those are just highlights. That's not everything that you're going to see in that capital projects fund, but you have the line item detail in the handout there. Getting real tired. I need something heavier than coffee. County ARP money. County Council approved this back last year sometime. We know what these things are that can be funded through this money, and we will stick to those. We're about ready to submit our first pay app to the county for that part of that $987,000. Lee, you want to give them a brief update on what's going on, what they put in up there at the raw water?
Yeah, so far the foundation's in, the pad's in for the transformer. The conduits ran down the hill, I'd say over halfway. It's a little difficult because you gotta drill the rock and then mount the mount the brackets to tie the conduit to, so it's not a regular, you can't dig a ditch up there, it's not going to happen. So it's all bolted to rocks going downhill. The transformer, we saved a little money there because it was 25 grand. I found one for way cheaper, 16 grand. So it's in my yard, they know it's there. So they measured my transformer to build the pad to. And building got delayed until like June and moved up till mid-May. So hopefully the building comes mid-May like it's supposed to. And once it's here and we bolt it down, we'll move the VFDs in and start wiring. So they're making pretty good progress there. We moved all the trees up on top of the hill that could reach the building. So we could get for them ahead of time, we took them out. We don't have a brand new building, a tree come through, that'd be terrible. So the trees are no longer there. Let's see, the pumps and motors, they've got measured a couple times. I think they're supposed to be here sometime in May. So it's just everything's hard to get right now. So if the pumps and motors show up, the plan with that is they'll change one out, put it online, make sure it tests, runs, before I let it take the other one out. We have redundancy there, but we want to make sure that the first one works right like it's supposed to, and we'll then take the other one out of power and put it into service. We'll always have one pump that's actually working. But it looks like the timing, it kind of keeps pushing that maybe by June we'll have a building, new pumps, motors. We'll actually be on our way to get this thing done. It should be nice to have that done. Once that way, one more project to do, which is a check valve on top of the hill. It leaks with the heater in that building, so it won't freeze. And that's another piece of the puzzle here we've got to get completed. It doesn't affect our water flow or anything, but it could cause us problems in the future. But I sent Kevin a couple pictures of the pad and all the things that we've done. So I met the inspector up there 2-3 weeks ago now, and with Paul from that group. Everything looked really good, really clean. The inspector was saying, wow, that's all in struts, it's all tied in. Wasn't just pipe staked with stakes. It was a nice job. So that's kind of a wrap of that. We're just kind of waiting on parts and pieces to show up, and then we'll get it going.
Yeah, and I believe council approved that bid award back in November, or was it December?
It was November.
It was before January, so you can see that we've had quite a lag in being able to get that work done, and that was because of the delay in being able to get the materials and the pumps. So,
and our pumps and motors, our drives are different. We can't just drop one in the water and hook it up. It has to be segmented every 4 feet. They got to go up in that mezzanine, like almost like pulling a well out of the ground. They got to catch it, bolt 4 feet on, drop it 4 feet, catch it, drop it 4 feet. So it's going to be a labor intensive for sure. Not counting the hand crane they got to use. I can't wait to see that. Because I ran it before, it's terrible. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm.
You could do that instead of going to CrossFit.
Yeah, you could.
So county ARP, this is in your budget for the upcoming year. Some of this work will probably be done before you pass the budget, so you'll see those numbers come down. This is more or less prescribed to what we can charge there. Hospitality tax, another fun slide. Again, you know, Mayor, we talked about things that we had in our operating budget that I moved around so that we could absorb. Anderson Park is one of those. It certainly qualifies for hospitality tax funds, but we've funded most of the Anderson Park improvements historically out of the Public Works budget. That's where this originally came in the form of a budget request. I took it out of that departmental budget and I moved it here. Again, so that we could absorb those increases. So what you see here, hospitality tax highlights, $104,000 going to the general fund, keeping in mind $34,000 of that is to support the ARC grant for the downtown master plan, the match for that. Youth rec, more or less about what it was last year. Special events committee, you asked me to give them a special line item, so they have it at $15,000. Christmas decorations, a number of folks asked me to include that in here. We haven't talked about that. I mean, you haven't given me specific direction to do that, but I've talked to each of you individually about it. Stab in the dark as to what $25,000 will get us in the form of what I'll call commercial grade Christmas decorations. Anderson Park improvements, a lot of that is to go toward improving the drainage The way the drainage is working out there right now is it's problematic to doing some of the improvements we want to do, so we've got to address it some form or fashion. $50,000 for Hall Street Park design. What will be coming to you, I think, before the end of summer is going to be the Recreation Planning Committee's recommendation to you on the concept plan. So if you're inclined to proceed to design, you're going to need some funds to do that. I don't know what that'll be. I earmarked 50 for that. $10,000 to refresh the train depot. We've got a number of things, and Jimmy came today and told me about another. Is it a door jam or a threshold that we need to get repaired?
It's one that comes right down by the door to rot it out.
We've got a number of things. The train depot just needs a little TLC. I think $10,000 will get it what it needs. I hope. And then you have your local agency grants. Again, that's not everything. That's the highlights. I'll remind you that all these things that you've seen in here listed one way or another, everything in this budget belongs to you. So if you see something that you don't like, you and the council that sits come June, direct me what you want this money spent on. I've taken and put together a budget from what I've heard you tell me and what I've heard the staff tell me is important. There may be times where I've not gotten that as you'd like to see it. All you have to do is direct me and we'll move the money. State and local accommodations tax. Accommodations tax really should be for what's called heads on beds. Heads and beds? Heads on beds? Heads and beds? Heads and beds. Somewhere those two phrases go together. The thing that we fund that no doubt meets that criteria is the Visit Oconee agency that we participate with at $5,000 a year. That gives us a little bit of room should something come up for, was it $2,300? Didn't really budget anything for that $2,300, but the Visit Oconee partnership, and we recently got the new visitor's guide, and they do a great job, I think, first-class job of highlighting all of Oconee County, but including Westminster. Be fun to have a job like Ken Sloan.
Yeah. So you've taken that out of the hospitality tax request and put it here?
I did. Again, in the past, we've moved the money from here into hospitality tax, but I might be being a bit technical and saying that the definition for what the two uses are distinct enough they should stay separate. Again, only if the state ever decides to audit and would it matter, but it's better to keep the things that fit together. And now the most fun slide of all is the end. Any questions on the presentation or anything that I gave you there?
I like the presentation. It's very good. Very clear.
Very kind of you to say. I'm gonna go back to your... Just that summary slide. So the other part, if you don't mind taking just a few minutes with me in your book, the next segment of your book, you've got the line item detail. So it's in there in the same order that it's on this cover sheet. So if you want to know where do you find the fire department 1% money, it's about halfway through. What's that book in the Bible? Is it like Psalms? You just want to go halfway? You kind of do the same thing. You want to find fire department, think Psalms, go halfway. The next segment that you have in here I think is important. When we start looking at our utility policies, what we have put in here that's a little different, I'm going to flip you to the second page that's in here, because some of these things are different than what they've been before. Rebecca, you and Leo have to help me stay straight on my numbers here. One is that it is in the very first bullet point, that we'll post penalties on the 15th of every month by 5 p.m. We've had a rule for a number of years now where we would post that at 12 p.m. And that's problematic for a lot of, causes a lot of confusion with our customers. They think they have the whole day because of the way some of the language reads. So my proposal to you is that we adopt that it's by the end of the day. I think it's a lot more customer friendly than what we currently have. The next is just spelling out, you know, if there's a holiday or a weekend. Disconnects, you know, Lee and I have spent quite a bit of time talking about how much we spend on disconnects and reconnects. We've gone through and we've tried to incentivize, if you will, people to pay their bills so we don't have to deal with disconnects and reconnects. We're charging a little bit more than what we've charged in the past. We're also, again, one of the things that I don't believe we have written down is the last bullet point under disconnections, that we won't disconnect anybody when it's freezing or when the temperature is above 100 degrees. And just to be clear, we're going to use the National Weather Service to tell us what the temperature is because everybody's got a different thermometer. Holds on accounts, deposits and service fees. That's more or less what you've seen in the past. The last page that you see on here, we actually did list out the current policy versus what we proposed as a new policy on water leak adjustments. I think the staff does a really good job of notifying customers if we've got data to prove or show that they may have a water leak. What's a little bit discouraging at times is we will let some folks know, and sometimes they get rather argumentative with us, and a couple of months will go by and we're still seeing that leak, that higher consumption data show up on our side. And then we have one just last week where it's been going on since December and the customer finally fixed it and now wants credit for all that time, and we notified them in December. So what I authorized the staff to do was we would do the adjustment based off the one highest bill that was in that time frame. So what we're asking you here to do is, or to do here, is to give us a bit more clarity. We've tried to articulate it here, so if there's something that you'd like to see changed, please tell us. The bottom line is this. We have folks who routinely don't pay their bill. And what that does is it drives up the cost for the people who pay their bill on time. And we really can't charge the people who don't pay their bill enough. I mean, some of these, you could have the reconnect and disconnect fee through the roof, and they're still going to kind of game the system, if you will. Or they don't have the money to pay. I don't know which it is. It's just it's a variety of things. So, again, what I ask the staff to do, and what we, I think, have made a good effort at doing here, and you'll see some of this refined by the time it gets to you for adoption in May, is we've sought to go through a number of resolutions and ordinances and verbal policies and put it all in black and white that we can clearly convey with the customers what the expectations are. Jimmy, I'll go back and give you credit for this. It was when we were talking about redoing the garbage ordinance that I realized that a lot of this stuff actually wasn't in here, so that led to this. And then the last thing that you have in your book is an organizational chart. It's not comprehensive in that it lists every position number out. In looking at this after we printed it today, I really wish that I had done that. So you'll probably get it in very fine detail by the time we get to the end. I'll give Andrea Kelly credit for this chart, because had she not asked me for one of these back during high drama in City Hall times, I probably would not have produced it. So, thank you. I know you love being given credit for good municipal work.
I do.
seriously, we do need an organizational chart for you, for the citizens, as we produce a comprehensive, not just financial plan, but financial policies. What is that funding? And you should know the number of positions that you're funding at any time and have a quick and ready resource to it. Did I leave you out, Jimmy?
The mayor.
Oh, he's part of city council.
I'm part of council. Jimmy want to put me on something.
Oh, is that right?
What Jimmy's trying to do.
So that's it. That's all I have. I'm here, Chief Patterson, Chief Smith, Rebecca. We're all here to answer any questions that you have. And just so you know, Ms. Knights, we gave her a copy of that whole presentation. We have a copy for everybody that's running for council. So if they want it, we will make sure that they get a copy so they can have the same information that I think we all need.
They didn't come because if they'd seen this, they wouldn't want to run tomorrow. Some of them may not vote for themselves if they've seen this. Yeah.
Any questions from council?
No, I mean, we just need to make sure people understand, the public needs to understand that, you know, the rate increase is not something we're gaining. It's not even covering our costs. We're still absorbing a lot. And I don't know, I really don't see anywhere that we could cut other than start cutting capital projects, which is exactly what we need to do to get the prices down on everything. I just don't know.
The investment in the capital on water, sewer, and electric is going to pay dividends. And if anybody doesn't believe that, you can look at what you've done in electric in the last 2 years, especially since Lee's been here. And you can see the reliability, the number of outages has gone down, the rate at which the number of outages have gone down, the number of storms that have come through that nobody had an outage on.
The I&I goes down, the
water reliability, where we've got some customers that have had high water pressure and some that's had really low. We address every single one of those as we get to them. We're making that system better as we go pretty much every day. And it takes money to do that.
Does anybody have any more questions?
Any direction from you? Did you see anything that you want to say, don't do that at all, or keep heading in that direction? Again, we're going to make this the budget you want it to be, but as much lead time as you'll give us, the better we can crunch the numbers for you.
I think we all need to sit down and go through it, and if we got anything, we'll get with Kevin so we can make any adjustments before the next one.
Sounds good.
Is there any possibility you'll have a chance to go over with the new people on council?
So my plan is, we have scheduled a swearing-in ceremony next week. That works for the folks who get elected tomorrow. And then I will ask each of them if they care to sit down and go through this, more or less what I just did with you. Maybe I should offer to do it and scare them ahead of time.
Well, one of the things...
Are you ready to run, baby?
I'm ready.
Yeah, you're ready.
Let's go.
So one of the things I've asked Kevin to do, and I sent y'all an email about it, but we can discuss it now. Understanding where the city's at with the utility system on all three fronts is really important before they make a decision when they vote on the budget, and before we ask them to vote on the budget. I really think having Troy Rozier, Tucker, along with you and Lee on all of those, and Andy Butcher from the PMPA come in and at least talk with them and let everybody know where we're at and why we're doing what we're doing. You're not going to get it hearing this. You can't hear what we've got in our head from the last 5 years. And I just want to know how the rest of the council feels about that. Is that something y'all be willing to do, a budget? Well, not a budget, but a workshop in between council meetings?
Yeah.
Dave, are you good with that?
I'm good.
Kevin, you good? Late. I think that would really help them, because they're going to be asked to vote on this budget, and I don't want them voting on something and just saying, well, we're just going by what y'all tell us.
Are you going to do it after the May meeting, between May and June, is that your plan? So have the first reading of it, or are you going to do it before the first reading?
Just before the second reading at some point. I mean, that way they've got an opportunity, when they sit down to do this final vote, and they'll vote this budget in for the second reading, they know what they're voting for, and they know why we're doing what we're doing.
It'll come down to scheduling. I mean, once we have the election, we know who the folks are going to be, then I can get with everybody too.
Yeah, and we've got 2 months thereabout to get that worked in.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
When it comes to our public servants' safety, I know that's a real priority. What is the amount difference that we're lacking in? You said $2 to $3 an hour. With the fire department. Do you have a round number of what that is?
I just asked before you came in, I think. It's $2 to $3 on the lease, and the firemen need more firemen, more.
But in amount, you
I can get that. I'll calculate it, because it is something we can do.
I love that is a very high priority right now. You know, and taking care of making sure our folks are safe and that you have what you need to do your job and feel appreciated in being what you do. And so I think people just take it for granted. So I'd like to know where we can know that. So.
We can get, you know, one of the, just some additional information for you. When Chief Smith submitted his budget request for this year, he asked for 3 additional positions.
Gotcha.
Those 3 additional positions aren't in here.
Gotcha.
Kind of the cheap candy I threw back at him was to give him some small amount in overtime and some small amount in part-time, which helps some of his scheduling, but it doesn't address the larger issue.
And it's a citywide issue.
Sure.
We just lost my tree trimmer, 3 weeks ago? We've lost numerous, before Terry's tenure here, we lost 5 or 6, Kevin, something like that, so people, those are revolving door. I mean, I just couldn't keep them. And at certain, it's like not being age, but certain age, they come in with the benefits, they want that. But, you know, the people that are 20s, 30s, they get that $3 or $4 an hour, and they jump for it.
Right.
And you know,
right.
So it's tough to compete. It's tough to compete with that. I mean, a guy just hired on here, we paid him more than I paid the last tree trimmers, but he got $5 an hour more.
And all the training you put into it and all that.
Yeah, so I keep all the stuff we bought. Yeah, you know, but you got your lineman here. I mean, it's just right. you got to get that scale somewhere. We're not in Westminster. We're not up here. So you got to be competitive, or you just keep pushing that.
Right.
Depending on what the economy does. If the economy starts to slow down, you probably have 100 applications for every job. You know, but it's the way it works. It's that revolving cycle.
What's our total fire department budget this year? Where's that? What page was that on? I have to go through.
So it's going to be page 11 of 79 is where it starts.
All right.
And it goes through the bottom of page 13. So the budget's about $500,000.
Half million?
Yep.
Give all right. Take. Let me find it here. Michael.
Sir.
What percentage do you think of our calls are outside the city limits?
Depends on.
You've given it to me broken down.
You've given it to us before. I just want you to say it.
Well, it varies. You know, but it's not a set 50-50 or 60-40.
Some lights on, he could see.
No, but you had a general idea the last time you brought it to the meeting on what was outside and what was inside.
The majority of the time, it's roughly 60% of the county, 40%.
Okay. 60% in the county. Our budget is 500, and the county gives us how much?
285.
Okay.
I can get you more exact numbers. I've been trying to track some of that. The call volume continuously goes up. I expect it'll be 750 to 900 calls in this year. They go up by about 20% annually. So that's kind of where I'm expecting this to be. And naturally, it's not just fires anymore. It's first response, medical calls, and that kind of stuff. And we do very few of those. We don't do primary medical in the county. That's what the volunteer rescue squad's for. Mm-hmm. Naturally, they're dwindling away as well. So if there is a no response, then we get sent to those as a secondary response agency. But those numbers are going up as well.
What was the additional cost per year for one officer, one fireman?
Say that one more time.
How much was one additional fireman going to cost you per year?
Think city, with all the package deals, like 62 to 64. I think that's benefits here.
And Matt, what was yours?
I didn't do any for additional officers.
I know, but what was it? We figured out last year what one officer would cost us.
And that was based off of a $32,000 a year.
Yeah, I think that's what Ms. Snipes is asking.
Right.
That's what she needs.
We'll get that.
Yeah, just an average.
Yeah. I'd be giving you false information.
Well, it's good for us to have it when we're going through all this, too. Kevin, I do like the way you got this organized. I don't know about the rest of them, but I like it. It's easy to read.
You know, I'd like to say that's why my brain is tired, because I fuss and fits over how to present this information to try and make it as understandable as possible. Just ask the staff at City Hall how often I take it right to the wire.
Saying we're simple-minded.
What's that?
Saying we're simple-minded.
No, I'm saying I'm not saying that. I don't know how to be with you about it.
But yeah, Matt, if you can get that, just a rough estimate for officer, what the total cost would be
for one additional.
Yeah, I think it was one 110 or 120.
I really don't. I haven't asked for any. Roy didn't ask for
any
last year.
No, we asked him. I think what the cost was a year or two ago, and it was. As far as the vehicle, all expenses, like 110 or 120.
Yeah, I was going to say, when it comes to police officers, different from firefighters, because you got to equip. They got to be equipped differently. So we'll get the number per firefighter.
Does anybody have anything else?
Nope.
All good?
Not tomorrow.
All right, I move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.